Watch out! It's the next crop!
Great new Australian music.
Oh, God!
On Triple J.
All right, I'm Joel.
I'm JT.
And we are two-thirds of The Last Connection.
Coming out of Newcastle.
Three-piece hip-hop urban group.
Urban's a funny word.
I know.
Yeah. Like blasphemy, really.
Well, run me through the roles of the three of you. Who does what?
I'm the boss because I'm the oldest and the big brother kind of thing, and I have to, you know, be a lot more respectful and you know, set a good image. And no, I don't really.
I'm assistant to the boss, assistant to the manager.
No, we all have different, I guess, roles. We usually JT does most of the production, all the music, beat making stuff. I'll do a few tracks in there as well, and then he'll steal my tracks and abuse them in good ways. Yeah,
beat molestation, manipulation. Yeah, a little bit cleaner. Yeah.
Think of the kids listening. Yeah, man. Yeah. And then Naomi really says yes or no of what happens.
Yeah, what pretty much. Yeah.
We'll come up with these mad ideas, and Naomi's like, nah.
Yeah.
But no, we all work pretty well together, and because Naomi's my sister as well, we don't really need to argue about anything. The arguing is mainly done between her and JT. Some sort of, you know,
more
attraction going on there.
Sexual tension in The Last Connection.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, I think it definitely is.
Hey, that rhymes.
I reckon she can definitely use that in a rhyme.
Yeah, definitely. Sexual tension in The Last Connection.
Well, what was the point of you three getting together?
All our other previous groups fell to bits. So it's like rising from the ashes. Like, what are we going to do? We're lost. There's nothing left. No hope. Hey, let's make a rap group. Rap music.
The group I was in was Local Knowledge, and it was a pretty indigenous kind of hardcore political group. And JT came along for the ride as well in the last year when we...
Yeah.
After all the hard work we had done, you know, he kind of
jumped on
the benefits.
Jumped on the bandwagon, literally. Yeah.
And then Naomi was just finishing up her big pop career as, you know, in Shikaya, as one half of Shikaya. And both our groups kind of split up in the same week, you know. And I rang up Naomi and I go, oh, you know, our group's over now. And she's like, oh, it's cool because ours is too. Let's start something together. And so I went, yeah, okay. And then we had already written a few songs. One of them on our MySpace, a Still Call Australia Home song, was the one we'd written a while ago. And she was like, yeah, if we didn't get dropped from the Sony label, we're going to do that song at an Australia kind of concert just to get dropped off the label. And I was like, nah, they probably wouldn't drop you for doing that. It'll be like, what does it mean?
How dare they?
And then we just started, we had a whole lot of Local Knowledge gigs that we hadn't, that were still booked in, and just rang him up and said, oh, look, you know, we've kind of split up, but we've got a new super group starting up. Do you mind if we perform? Because it's kind of too late for them to get other artists in anyway. So it was like the Dreaming Festival and Styling Up Festival. And,
yeah, that was the first.
And that was our first gig. So, and it's the first gig I've ever done with my sister as well, which was pretty funny. So it was about 11,000 people at this festival, and we're like crapping ourselves because we don't really have any songs. Yeah. We're just doing each other's songs. So she'd do a few Shikaya ones and I'd dress up as the other girl and sing backing and stuff. I looked hot in a dress, man, but, you know. Anyway, and then
you didn't continue with that. That seems like a winning formula.
No, JT fell in love with me, so I had to, you know. It was three-way sexual tension, you know. It was like,
very awkward.
Sister girl.
Brother boy.
And then from then on, we just started writing and recording. We weren't trying to really gig or anything. We're just more like just trying to build up
a catalog of songs. But the writing process for us, it was pretty fluent, like it just turning out at least, you know, four tracks a week or something like that, like just getting through the tracks really quick. And I'd just come up with beats and Joel's able to record at his house, so we kind of nailed through it really, really quickly, and then picked the kind of best ones. And
do you find that you all bring different ideas and different visions to the table, because it sounds like you come from pretty different backgrounds?
Yeah, definitely. Sometimes I'd have a beat and I would have an idea for it and say, oh, here's the beat. And they go, oh, we love it. And I say, okay, I did the beat. I think it should be about this. And they'd be like, nah. That's I'm not hearing that at all. That's not what it's about. Yeah, I'll tell you what your beat's about.
Yeah. He tries to sneak in a name of the beat of what he wants it to be about, and that we just say, nah, just name him 1, 2, 3, and 4.
He'll give a title to the music before the lyrics. Yeah.
Right. This song should be about how good JT is. No, we're not going to do that.
The Last Connection debut album's already out. What kind of stories are coming through?
Lyrically, it was just all about anything that was happening within our own lives, whether it was political, whether it was just going out and having fun, or whether it was, you know, about suicide or anything like that, you know. And just so the songs are all over the place. You know, the whole idea behind the album calling it Nuchus is that's because that's our nan who just passed away at the start of the year. It's a nickname that she used to be called as, and it was more about family and how music and writing lyrics is about passing on that knowledge and passing on that family history and that sort of thing. And so that's what the album kind of was based around, I guess.
What's going on now for The Last Connection?
Just having a bit of a break.
Yeah, not much.
After being broken.
We're taking it the next level. Smashing through the barriers.
There were a few reports. You know, we heard here at Triple J about the road accident that happened at the end of the massive tour you'd just done with The Herd. Yeah. That was the first big national-ish kind of tour you'd done, yeah?
Yeah. So it's not the best way to end it. Like, it was the most amazing tour I've ever been on.
Yeah, you know, it was such a good experience. There's not one show that we did that we didn't get a good reaction from the crowd, and which I thought was amazing considering no one had really heard our music or even heard of us before.
Getting on tour with The Herd was probably we all sat around and thought, you know, to plug this album, you know, we should get on a few tours and that sort of thing, and who would we tour with, you know? And, like, we weren't thinking just local, we were, like, going international. I've told The Herd boys this, they don't believe me, but we said, The Herd would be the best one to get on a tour with. And when he, you know, Tim asked me, I was like, yeah.
We were hoping for just, like, one show. We're thinking, maybe if we can get the Sydney or the Newcastle gig, that'd be awesome to get in front of that crowd. And Joel rang up and goes, man, we just got the whole tour.
Well, we had a pretty serious car accident after that, and Naomi was kind of pronounced dead at the scene as well. Yeah. And I pulled her out of the car because I was the one driving, and you know, a barrier went through the car, and that just killed me, like just pulling her out of the car pretty much dead with bones sticking out everywhere. And when the doctors at the scene said, oh, you know, I don't think she's going to make it, you know, I was just like, nah, this is crap. So I went off the other driver, you know, did the old, everyone jumped on me and that kind of thing. And then as she was, you know, in intensive care and unconscious, and like all my parents and everyone came down, and then I saw her in hospital and she was actually alive, and I was like, oh, yeah, this is all right. But I just didn't really feel like doing music at all. Just it's like, nah, I don't really feel like doing it anymore, eh? And then and as she got better, so did the kind of, yeah, just my need to do more shows and music again. So we've started working on our new album now, and hopefully we'll do our bit of tour of this first album while we have the other album sitting on it.
On Naomi to finish, like, fully recover. Like, she's, I mean, but she's already talking about, you know, new music and all this sort of thing. I mean, she's
on crutches now, yeah. So yeah, and no one can believe how fast that she's actually recovered. Yeah. And no one can even believe that we were in that crash, really. Yeah, that people actually walked out of there, you know. And when I was walking around, you know, and I was in shock and I didn't feel anything at all, and people looking at me like, what are you doing here? I'm like, oh, I was driving. They're like, oh, true. You shouldn't even be alive, eh? It's like,
no. You're walking around at the side of the accident.
I was up. I pulled my sister out of the car and then tried to clear airway because she wasn't breathing or anything, but yeah, she was pretty shattered to pieces, and I just couldn't do it. So I went to the hospital and the ambulance. The ambulance thought, you know, they just picked up some dude who was just, you know, traumatised by experience. Yeah. And then they found out I was a driver, and then straight away they put me in for all these scans and x-rays and all sorts of things for internal
injuries. But it's great to hear Naomi's now talking already about wanting to get back.
Yeah,
no, it's mad. Like, we haven't really gotten together after it all to talk about what we're really going to do, but we all know, you know, what's going to happen, and so we just go with it. We don't really need to say anything verbally.
This is actually the first proper Last Connection thing we've done since the accident, I'd have to say. Like, yeah.
Tell me a bit about Worth Marching For, which is the track that we're going to be featuring.
So this song, I did the beat, and then he
made it better.
Anyway, I did this beat up, and then it had a lot of drums in it, a lot of marching kind of thing, and I wanted a song that really not got you angry, but got you up off your butt kind of thing, and not so much dancing around, but real serious kind of, yeah, let's get into something serious. And then the idea of Worth Marching For, and then the whole freedom rides, the whole land rights marches that were done in Australia, and not just that, but any kind of activist all over the world that kind of rally people together to march for something worth marching for. Because today, you know, you see people marching around, and you know, there's a whole lot of riots to do with the flag and who's Australian, and you know, all these things that really don't mean anything. You know, they mean things to people, but really, you know, the things that really count in the world today are like compassion, how you feel and how you relate towards each other are more important than flags or anything else. And so that's what I want to do the song about.
It's kind of like a tribute song to all those rallies and marches, and yeah, like Joel said, something worth marching for.